when we develop this awareness of the self and the non-self, and there is sometimes this trap maybe about annihilation.
Annihilation.
And how to avoid that, and how to, I mean, I think it can be a trap sometimes that we realize that we're not that self as much as we thought we were, and then maybe we don't want to be that self. But we develop this aversion to the self.
Yeah, that is a fairly common habit. And it's also one of the reasons why in a lot of the meditation instruction that Lumpo Sumedho's given over the years, he talks a lot about bhavatanna and vibhavatanna, the desire to become and the desire to get rid of. And so the desire to get rid of, vibhavatanna, can disguise itself as letting go. That is a thinly masked aversion to various aspects of who and what we think we are. It's difficult to discern, like the desire to become, I should be more like this, I want to be more like that, I want to have more insight, I need to get more concentration. And that can easily disguise itself as something wholesome and beneficial, and it can look like right effort, samavayamo. And so that when we look at the definition of right effort, the four right samapadana, the four right efforts or right strivings, the first one is restraining the unwholesome from arising, or if the unwholesome has arisen, to let it go. The cultivation of the wholesome, and if the wholesome has arisen, to maintain it in being. So it's very easy for that wanting to get rid of to disguise itself. I'm just letting go. I'm restraining the unwholesome from arising. And it can be a subtle kind of self-aversion that is not being noticed. But the way to distinguish between what is right effort, samavayamo, or the right strivings, the samapadana, is that there's no sense of self involved in that. There's not a, I need to get rid of, I don't want to be this way, I've got to. That effort to restrain the unwholesome from arising, or the effort to let go of the unwholesome that has arisen, that is free of self-view, free of any kind of conceit. But it takes a lot of practice to get to know the difference between those two. And if you've listened to many of Lumpo Sumedho's teachings or read his books, and that over and over again he talks about that area, because it's like developing a musical ear, like noticing when a note is slightly sharp or slightly flat. You have to really spend a lot of time listening to a lot of music to sharpen your hearing to really tell. So it's exactly the same with meditation, that acute attention to the attitude, and to reflect upon that, to turn the attention around, saying, what's going on here? What's the attitude? Is there a me who wants to get rid of something, or is there just recognizing this is unwholesome and therefore it's helpful to let go of it? So it takes a lot of work and a lot of attunement with musical notes or with language, like noticing, I didn't phrase that quite correctly, that the grammar wasn't quite perfect, or my pronunciation wasn't exactly ideal. And there really isn't any substitute for a lot of hours on the cushion, on the walking path, and getting to know those subtle habits, because it can be very difficult to spot. But I feel it's an extraordinarily helpful area of practice. And it's interesting, over the years, when Lumpo Sumedho talks about tanha, craving, he doesn't often talk a lot about sense desire, like craving for sense pleasure. Mostly when he's talking about the second noble truth and letting go of desire, it's those bhavatanna vibhavatanna, letting go of the desire to become, the desire to get rid of. Because those are, in a way, more the meditator's issues. That if you sign up to come and live in a monastery for a month or two or 3 months or a lifetime, then usually you're not overly drawn towards sensuality. You know it's going to be a simple lifestyle. There's not a lot of excitement, apart from lunch or breakfast. there's not a lot of other things. A deliberately plain environment. So Lumpur's teachings of on a meditation retreat, signing up to sit without talking for 10 days to live in a place and just follow a routine of sitting and walking meditation and do nothing else for 10 days. There's a certain inclination away from sensuality that's part of that. So much of his teaching then has focused on those two kinds of craving, two kinds of desire, because they're very subtle. And it takes a lot of work to get to know that. But one of the most useful tools is that quality of wise reflection, that sense of inquiry. Okay, what's going on here? Is there an attitude of wanting to get rid of, or I'm the owner of this bad habit. I don't want to be this way. I want to get rid of this aspect of me, so I will be some other way. So to turn the attention onto that, to explore the attitude, and then by exploring it and recognizing it, then it can be let go of. It's an aspect of Dhamma practice that can very easily slide by, and that rather like basing the practice on self-view of, you know, I'm an unenlightened person, what's got to do something to become enlightened in the future, that can be taken as an automatically believed premise or basis, and all the attention goes on to following a particular method of meditation and not noticing the attitude behind it. So I feel it's extraordinarily helpful. But both Lumpo Cha and Lumpo Sumedho put a lot of emphasis on the attitude towards Dhamma practice rather than just the methodology of particular practices.